something about being in Him that as long as you are in Him, it's no longer your battle. It's His battle. Oh God, you don't hear me in here today. It's His battle. And since it's His battle and we understand that He's never lost a battle and He never will, you ought to get excited in this house. Unless you just like your battle and unless you just like losing, you ought to get excited on the strength that He never will lose a battle. Amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's just give God, not your neighbor, not your basketball team. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
We bless God. We're going to
adjust that real quickly. That's much better. Amen. Amen. Excited to be in the house of the Lord today. Some of you may be wondering why we are not doing children's church today. Is our page on? We are on strike. Make sure the volume is turned up on your phone so they can hear us. We are on strike. Until your children, is it facing me? Until your children become as important to you as they have been and are to us, we will be in the sanctuary. If you can't make it, and you know that we have a van and plenty of adults that will pick those babies up. And here's the thing, they want to be here. You not being here, that's your issue. But your children want to be here. Until you care enough about your children's spiritual being, we are on strike. Amen. I will not ask people to put lesson plans together and work weeks and weeks on end, show up from Louisville, Kentucky, just to have three babies come to Bible study. What you doing on a Wednesday night that's so important that you can't be in the house of the Lord anyway? Amen? Yeah, yeah. Now, if you out there making a living, you got a job and all of that, I understand. But I come from the old school. My grandmama used to say, if you can go to work, you can go to church. If you can go to school, you can go to church. If you can go outside and play yesterday, you can make it to church the next morning. Amen? Y'all ain't hearing me in here. See, what has happened is God has lost His importance in the household. And because God has left, and let me say something, you know that God has lost His importance in the household because the world is crazy. Never has there been a time that it's been as chaotic as it's been right now. And we can sit back and we can search and we can do all the type of censuses and all of those type of reports that you want to. But the reality is we will come back to the point of God is not important in the house anymore. Thus, God is not important in the world. Thus, we have chaos. Unity Worship Center, I come to tell you today that it is on us and all the churches that are truly preaching Christ crucified to stand up and make a change, to stand up and shout. You understand what I'm saying to you? To let the world know that this is not how it's going to be. Our children should be educated to the point to where there should not be shootings in school because there's too much Holy Ghost flowing through the schools. Our children should be educated to the point to where the blocks and the streets are safe because the Holy Ghost dwells down those streets. And we don't have 12 and 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds gunning one another down. Our households ought to be so sanctified that our children shouldn't be smoking weed at 13 years of age, making grown folk decisions with a young mindset. Things have got to change, Unity Worship Center, and I believe that we have been called to spark that change. Amen? Out of the mouth of babes. Today, with the help of the Lord, we're going to walk into the third part of our sermon series entitled Starting Over.
And what we're going to do this week is we're going to work on getting everybody Unity Worship Center notebooks, and they're free. And the reason that they're going to be free is because I don't want you to have any reason why you don't have one and keep yours. And every Sunday from this day forward, if you got your smartphones and you got enough discipline not to get on Candy Crush and actually take notes, then I want you to get your phones out and take notes. If you got paper, I want you to take notes. We're going to become a church. We're going to start walking into being the church that is not, we have some sense about ourselves. We know what we're talking about. We're not going to be the emotional church. Amen. We're going to be the word church. Amen. I'm going to preach the word. You're going to learn the word. We're going to apply the word. And then we're going to exhibit the word in the world that people might be compelled to come to Christ. You know why folk ain't coming to Christ? Because they're not compelled. You know why they're not compelled? Because we are faking. Nobody want to deal with nobody that ain't real. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I didn't want to deal with nobody that wasn't real when I was in the streets. I definitely don't. And guess what? That wasn't eternal. But I definitely don't want to deal with nobody that ain't real in the church, because that deals with my eternal. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I want you to write notes. Why? And then I don't want you to just write the notes. I want you to study the notes, because I guarantee, as Charles Barkley says on NBA, I guarantee that if you will write notes down, what you will begin to see is that the enemy, he is so arrogant, and he rocks off your history. In other words, he says, you know what? I ain't worried about you changing despite what you go down. You've been writing notes all your life. You've never applied a one. I don't have to change my strategy with you because you've not changed. I don't have to change my strategy with you because you still fall for the same old okey-doke. But I guarantee that if you will write notes down, things that hit your spirit, things that you say, ooh, that was good. Or when I say, write that down, I bet you before the week's end, you will see the enemy try you in the places where you took notes. Because he is saying, I'm so arrogant and you're so predictable and undisciplined that you will write this down and still won't rock with it. Try me and see if I be a lying prophet. Try me. Today, with the help of the Lord, we will walk into the third part of our sermon series entitled Starting Over. We have discussed many things over the last 2 weeks, and my prayer is that you have been taking notes and paying attention, because this could easily be, and I mean this from the depths of my soul, this could easily be the most important sermon series that we have done. So much so that I find myself a bit nervous. Because if you know in your heart that you need to start over, but won't embrace this teaching on starting over, that tells me that you know you need to change things, but for whatever reason, you won't. And the reason that makes me nervous, the reason that makes me a bit nervous, and it should make you nervous too when you come to the mentality or the mindset, or you begin to realize that you know you need to make changes, but you won't, is because that means that you are deciding to stay on this road of life that will continue to fail you, that will continue to betray you, and that will ultimately rob you of your purpose, thus forfeiting your destiny. I am concerned. Listen, I'm not concerned about the church across town. I'm not concerned about the members around the way. I am concerned that the disciples here at the Unity Worship Center know that there is change needed in their lives, yet won't make the change, and you will never operate in your purpose, thus fulfill your destiny. And let me tell you something. You can walk away from this world, this earthly world, with $10 million in the bank and still have failed in the things of God. You can have the biggest house, the dopest car. You can have, your boo, your bae, your husband, the wife of your dreams. You can have it all, materially, carnally, worldly, and still end up in hell. You can win in your flesh, but lose in your spirit. Oh, God. I am concerned because if this is the route that you decide to take, then that means that your children will have to grow up subjected to parents or a parent who just gave up. And giving up is dangerously, it is dangerously contagious, because giving up, watch this, lessens responsibility. You might want to write that one down. Giving up lessens responsibility. And we already live in a time where our children and teenagers want as less responsibility as possible when it comes to making sure that they are the best person, get this, that they were designed to be, instead of the best person that they want to be. They're already lazy when it comes to responsibility for the most part. Let me explain my position. I've got a son, and I love him with every fiber of my being. Most of you know him. But a couple of years ago, he was living with us, and I told him, you know, I said, I'm going to talk about you this week, so he ain't somewhere going, I can't believe my dad's talking. He knows I'm talking about him. He wouldn't comb his hair. Yeah. That was a nice-looking kid. Got it going on. Wouldn't comb his hair. I get in the car, shut the door, get ready to pull out of the garage to take it to the bus stop. Smell something. Smell something. Wouldn't comb his hair. I had to fight him to make him get in the shower. And this is what was shocking, but it will prove my point. This is what was shocking. He had a bunch of girlfriends. He had a bunch of girlfriends. And I would often ask him, you know, and Miriam will tell you this, I would say, what do these little girls look like? That they would date a dude that would, you know, that won't shower, won't brush his teeth, comb his hair. What kind of ugly is your women working with? And to my surprise, watch this. Stay focused. To my surprise, these women were beautiful. I would look at these young girls and be like, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Mary would be like, that's enough. Yeah. And I would say, so are y'all just dating over the phone? Is it just cyber love? And he's like, no, it was the one I went on a date with the other night. And I'm like, but she's pretty. She's amazing. She's smart. She can read. He said, what you trying to say, Dad? I said, you don't get in the shower. That's what I'm saying. Why does she mess with you? But the reality is, it just proves my point. Get this. Even young women have to be responsible in their dating choices. And that means they have to look past, he's cute. Taught a whole sermon. You gotta look past that. He's cute. Amen. And to know what's important. Now let me just put this out here. He washes his face and he takes showers. He comes there. He's done. Okay. Put that out there. Now get this. And to know this. And here's what's important. Like, Lord have mercy. You've got to find out who he is on the inside. You got to do the work. You got to be responsible, young women, young men as well. You got to figure out who these people are on the inside. Will he treat me right? What is he really after? See, Orwell, I want you to understand something. That takes work. That takes some of these young people. They got time, and we can't really knock the young people, because the reality is we didn't have none either. So we're not going to sit in here and act like, you know, I don't know why my child is the way my child is, because you was the way you was. We were at a wedding reception yesterday after a marriage renewal, and my sister, you know, tripping. I've been getting on my daughter all month and about some things, and then my sister said, well, why is he getting on you when he does that too? He used to do that too in school. And she said, hold on. You've been, I said, come on, it's time to go. She said, hold on, you're going to get on me for the very things that you was in school doing too? And my sister was like, he was so much worse. I said, you're such a bad influence. Isn't it amazing, though, that you expect out of your children what you know still deals with you? Don't act like you. Oh, hey, Lord, have mercy. If you're a drama queen and been one, and your child is a drama. I told Miriam this. I said, let me tell you something. Maya is a dreamer. She dreams big. She's going to France. She's going to New York. I believe she's going to do these things. Don't get it twisted. I think she's going to do these things. But she dreams big for 11. I'm talking about, she's probably going to be a millionaire, let her tell it by this time next week. I mean, she dreams big. And there is nothing I can say, because I wake up with a new dream. Bees was our dreamer. I will dream on you in a minute. No, listeners are like, yes, every morning I hear a new dream. You do, because but guess what? So I don't get upset with her being a dreamer. She gets that from me. I don't get upset with her being about her money. She gets that from me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So what we have to do is stop confusing our children, because what we do is we make them think something is really wrong with them. It will bless your child to say something like, you know what, baby, don't be getting down on yourself. I used to deal with that too when I was young. See, when I begin to tell her, you know what, I used to. When I begin to tell Nas, I used to. Son, let me tell you something. I you ain't right, but I get it, because he began to be more honest with me. Because I stopped lying to them. You see, when you let them know, ain't nothing wrong with you. I was a trip. You see. And so in my house, I help out. I'd be like, that's your mama right there. You being your mama right there. That's your mama. Now, all the good stuff, that's pretty much me. Yeah. It takes her being responsible. So get this. So when parents or the parent have adopted the spirit of giving up, they openly, publicly, right in front of everyone say, this is what my life is going to be, and I might not be okay with it, but I no longer care enough to do anything about it. And if you don't like it, say when you give up in front of your children. That's what you say. This is going, let me say it again. This is what my life is going to be, and I may not be okay with it. Anybody ever been there? But I no longer care enough to do anything about it, and if you don't like it, and let me tell you something, it's not because you're ornery. Let me bless you today. You don't not care because you're ornery. You don't not care because life has handed you some battles. Sometimes you just gotta have a timeout. Sometimes life can slap you upside the head so many times. Life can deal with your health, your finances, your children, your marriage, your education, that every now and then you just have to sit down for. You ever been in a point in your life where you just had to, everything is going on around you and everybody is talking around you, and all you can do is, It's not your fault that you've given up. It's not your fault that you feel like you can't take anymore. It's not. Life has happened, and what happened was because God was not as important as he was supposed to be in our lives. He got the best of us. And let me go ahead and tell you now, life will always get the best of you as long as God is not the head of that life. Can't nothing get the best of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? So my prayer is that if you know you need to be starting over, either completely or just in certain areas of your life, that you will care enough about you and those connected to you to do so. Amen? Well, don't tell me you love me, but you won't give me the best you. Don't tell me you love me, but you won't take care of your mental so that I can focus on what needs to be focused on, because I don't have to be worried about. Don't tell me you don't love. Don't tell me you love me, but you don't love you. For if you don't love you, then how can you love me? This morning about 5 a.m., Miriam and I were talking, and I was sharing with her my concerns about the church. my concerns about the people in the church and saying that the reality is the church is struggling the way that it is because the people refuse to learn and apply what they learn. And I want to tell you that if you're here every Sunday and sometimes on Wednesday, I bless God for you. I want to tell you that if you pay your tithes and you help out in ministries, I bless God for you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But God is looking for folk. God is looking for folk that will give themselves to Him in totality. The problem that we're having at the Unity Worship Center is not finances, it's the people. If people will not give them life to God in totality. Watch this. You can pay tithes and still not be all in with God. In fact, one of the biggest problems that we have is we got a couple people that pay tithes, but they're not all in with God. And as a consequence, the church is struggling as a unit. I told her, I said, we were up at 5 this morning, 5 this morning. And I said, they won't apply what they learned. And my wife, the Lord used her mightily. And Miriam said something that was powerful. And it really gave me a pace to start from today with this sermon. She said, baby, the problem is they are okay with just coming to church and hearing the word. Part two of the problem is they are not concerned with the God of more. No one is looking for the more. No one is, let me say it again. I want you to write that down. Am I looking for the more of God? I'm going to help you out. We're going to figure that out together. Now, that was powerful and so on point. So and it led me to ask you guys some personal questions. You know, we ask questions in here. And it's going to take you being brutally honest. Let me say that again. It's going to take you being brutally honest to get out of this what you need to get out of it to be able to be placed in the place that you were supposed to be. Lying ain't going to help you. Amen. You ever lied about yourself? You ever lied about your condition? How you doing? I'm all right. Sometimes you just need to say, you got a minute. Huh? How you doing? Sit down. I'm going to share my lunch with you because we're going to be a minute. Sometimes God sends people just to say, how you doing? And they're not being cordial. They're not being, you know, just being nice. Literally, the Lord is working and saying, how are you doing? Tell me about it. Get it off your chest. You ever just don't know somebody and just tell them everything? You just at that point where you're just like, you know what, I don't even know you like God. I know you think something about me. I know you. I promise I don't tell people's business. I don't talk a lot. I'm just, you ever been in that place? Have you ever noticed that when you do that, people tend to have some answers? That's because they didn't just happen. They were sent to you. Ain't you glad that you serve a God that'll just send some people to say something as simple as, how you doing? What's going on with you? Listen, so I got some questions for you. Here we go. Y'all ready? Got to tell the truth. Lord's in the house. How many of you, just hold on, love God, come to church, love the word of God, but deep down on the inside of you, don't believe that you can ever have the relationship with God that I speak about? Tell the truth, shame the devil, the Lord knows. Don't be ashamed, put your hands on that. You hear the word, you love the word, but deep down on the inside, it is a struggle to accept that you can actually have that life with God. Another question. Nor do you believe, part two of the question, that you can honestly be where you want to be in God, which in return will give you the life that you really want. How many struggle with that? That you really believe that you can be in God where you want to be or need to be, that it will give you the life, amen, that you really desire. Because this truth, this being honest about this is going to help you. It's going to help you, I promise. tell the truth. Get this. I got one more question. And I really need you to be real, because as I learn your answers, I know where to go. See, some churches just come and they've got an assignment. Well, not so much as an assignment. Some people just, they got a sermon series planned out for the next 6 months. Some people come into church and they're going to preach what they preach, what they wrote last night. They was up all night with it. They was up all week with it. They're going to preach that despite where you are. My first spiritual father, Leroy Carter, may he rest in peace and God be happy with him. He said this to me: always know the climate of your church. We was in prison, he taught me that. He said, we had a kid that had went up for parole, and he had been locked up for 2 years, and he was just knowing he was getting ready to go home, was engaged. They had a date. He was so focused that he was going to go. He knew he was going to go home. They had a date and everything. We were so excited about it, right? He came to the Bible study. He came to the young people's Bible study every day after chow. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's jail talk. Chow means lunch. We knew he was going home. And he 2 years he'd been locked up, and he came back from the board with an 18-month flop. And I was going to lunch, and I was with my spiritual father, and I had already heard about it going to lunch. And my spiritual father said, he said, "What are you preaching about?" I said, "Well, I was going to preach about grace, but now I'm going to preach about when it seems like God's not there." And he said, "Is this for the young man in your class that got flopped?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Good. Always know the climate." So see, I don't really want to come in here and teach you about grace. I don't want to talk to you about things that ain't going to help you in your life. And Abraham is important, and we're going to teach you about Abraham when you get to the point where you live in a life that is fulfilling, that is blessing you the way that it's supposed to be. But you don't care nothing about Abraham, you know, and how many sons. You don't care about that when you can't stop smoking weed. You don't care nothing about that when somebody's going upside your head and they're supposed to love you. You don't care about that when you can't get a hold on your children. You need to figure out, what is it about my life that is lined up, you know, that is not lined up, or lined up with God, that everything in my life is chaotic. Lord have mercy. So, I got this question, and I need to know this because, you know, this is how I understand where to keep going with you. We're starting over because this church, the Lord has told me the majority of this church needs to start. So here's my other question. All right. I need you to be real. Okay. How many of us sometimes struggle with knowing the sins that we know the sins that we've committed, but we struggle with truly believing that God has, or will forgive us? How many struggle with that? Know what you done. And I know, preacher man, you keep telling me that he has and he will forgive me, but the problem is I've not forgiven myself. I've not forgiven myself, and the problem with that, and watch this, and why, y'all ready for this? And the people that I love have not forgiven me. Now, I want you to explain to me, preacher man, how a God that I have never seen, who sent his son to die for me, will forgive me after I know about him. But the people that I share space with every day, they won't forgive me. I want you to tell me how I'm supposed to believe that God will forgive me for the things that I've done, and I've not figured out how to forgive. How to forgive myself. See, and I want you to understand something. Satan is so cold with his attack because he understands that you understand what you've done. Can't nobody tell you how foul you've been, because you know how foul you've been. You understand what I'm saying to you. I don't need nobody. Mary sometimes wants to tell me about myself. You know, I just say, stop. You don't got to tell me about me. I know about me. You're not lying. I know. So here's the problem. You ready? Here's the problem. Here's the deal. Before I give the answer, I want to say that if you were honest and you raised your hand, I celebrate you. And I celebrate your honesty, because your honesty says, I'm tired, and maybe, just maybe, today can start my change. be a little out there. Y'all ready? But if you really give it some thought, it might just really be a major issue in your growing in God, and not just growing in God, but growing in life. Could it be possible that we subconsciously deal with God like we deal with people? And that we think about God as we think about people? Let me prove my point. Because I might be wrong, but I think I'm onto something. It might sound far-fetched, but let's deal with it for a second. Let me ask you a question. Do you lie to people? Do you lie to God? You can't lie to people and not lie to God. Now, before you say that you don't lie to God, think about that. We need to be brutally honest. Think about this. When you got saved, you made a vow that Jesus would be the head of your life. A vow is not just a momentarily thing that you took. That vow is continual. And you said that he would be the head of your life. Now, let me ask you, has he been? Has he been the head of your life? Not just now, because I'm asking you the question, was he the head of your life last night? Was he the head of your life last week? Was he the head of your life when those vile, foul, profane words came out your mouth? Was he the head of your life then? After you took the vow? Could it be possible, I'm asking, that we make a mistake of playing God like he's people? Because if that is correct, get this, then it explains everything. See, the issue that we're having, the problem is how we see God. Put that down. The problem is how I see God. See, because if we see God like we see people, then there's no deliverance in him. There's no need to believe in God if we see God how we see people. Why? Because people have let you down. The most important people to you have let you down. So if you see God like you see people, then you are seeing it wrong. Thus, get this, so you can never receive from God. Because you receive from God as you receive from people. Sister Jackson, tomorrow I'm going to give you $10,000. Do you believe it? It's okay. I'm lying. It's okay. Yes, ma'am. See, she's so spiritual. Only if God lets you have it. Let me tell you, the birds come to this woman when she comes out on the porch because she knows she's going to be obedient to God and feed them. You're just a powerful spirit. But I'm lying. And I'm going to tell you something. If he give me 10 and he say give it to Sister Jackson, me and God are going to be up all night. Because I got to be sure. Because 10 don't come easy. But because, watch this, and some of you know me, so some of you know that I've lied before. Some of you know that I've been foul before. So, and I'm your man of God, right? So, if it's hard for you to receive something that I tell you, and you see me, you know I pray, you know I strive, you know I struggle for God, you know I'm doing the best that I can by God, how easy is it for you to believe when God says he's going to make your old sinful self new? Hard to believe that, isn't it? Because maybe, just maybe, we play God like we play. Let me show you. A father, he's our father in heaven, but if you've had a dysfunctional relationship with your father in the earth realm, it's kind of hard to believe that your father in heaven will be better to you than your father was. We have to drop this notion that God operates with us on the same level as people do. You got to drop that. It's holding you up, I promise. In other words, so there has to be a separation between the earth realm and the heavens. And you have to understand that people are going to be people. People are going to sin. People are going to lie. People are going to cheat. They're going to steal. They're going to do all of those things. But God never will. And you have to make up. If you're going to start over, you have to make up in your mind that God will never, what's the Bible say, leave me nor forsake me. You got to make that up in your mind that you Now, I need you to think about what it means for Jesus to be the head of your life. It means that whatever he commanded, laid out, or says, you have to follow. Can I say that again? Whatever he commanded, laid out, or says, you have to follow. Now, here's been a problem. You ready to write this down? Here's the one you want to write this down. And I take the blame for this. I take the blame for this because I don't know if I've ever really stressed it enough or at all, because sometimes I just assume that we know things. And if you really haven't been deep off in this stuff, there's just going to be some things that you wouldn't know. But get this. But write this down. Doing without agreeing will never get you where you need to be. So the church has been guilty of telling everybody, you need to follow what the Lord says. But we've never said, but it would help if you agree with it. Oh. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Most of you that's been in church, how many of you have been dictated to from the pulpit? They told you what you need to believe. They told you what you're going to do if you want to get to heaven. But they never told you, but you need to really read it and agree. You see, Lord have mercy. Remember the Kingdom Disciples study we did? And we said in there that you have to be at one with God in doctrine, the Bible, and in deeds, your behavior, your actions, right? In other words, you have to agree with God that his word is right, true, and necessary. In other words, you have to get it. You have to, I get it. Hey, I get it. I see. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now, I'm not at this time, I'm not interested in being theologically in tune with the text. As I am with making my point. We can be deep next week when you got it. And I don't want to come off like being theologically in tune isn't important. It really is. But a lot of the Bible grew me up in a revelational sense. Meaning the Holy Spirit dealt with me on much of the Bible that I read and gave me an experience that gave me a testimony that was more powerful than theological. In other words, what I experienced by the Word through the Holy Spirit has been far more important to me than knowing the why and the when. Now, I always come back to learn the why and the when, but it will never trump revelation because the revelation is connected to my relationship with Him. I know a lot of Bible smart people that don't know Him. Yeah, they can tell you all the verses and the scriptures and they can even tell you what they mean in the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, but they can't tell you what it means to be in His presence. They can't tell you that they ever heard from Him. I got a problem with these preachers running around here talking about God don't talk to you no more. Boy, if God didn't talk to me, this ministry would have been in a ditch years ago. Tell me God don't talk to me. Tell me God don't talk to you. The problem is you're not listening. I got a problem with all these doctrines, these people with all these images. He don't move through revelation. The Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you and lead you. Well, how are we supposed to get it? Everything I don't read, I get. Some things I need a prompting. I need an unction. That's that word. I need an unction sometimes. Now, get this. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And there is a saying that is commonly used that says, we can agree to disagree. And that's okay with some people in your life, but not everybody. See, I love my daughter. And I can agree to disagree with bees, but I will not disagree. Me and my daughter will not disagree. I'm responsible for her. I understand that there's some things that she doesn't know. So when it comes to certain things that we conversate about, there will be no disagreeing. You will get an understanding. Because I love you. Not because I'm your daddy, not because I'm the boss, because I love you. So I can agree to disagree about sports. And I can agree to disagree with Jeff. And I can agree to disagree with Lily. And I can agree to disagree with even my wife. But I cannot agree to disagree with God. Never. Never can I disagree with God. And never will God agree with me disagreeing with Him. Lord, have mercy. So I want you to understand it is vital that you are always in agreement with God. And get this, then this is real. Some people are saying he ain't no real preacher. I knew it. It's vital that you can always in agree. And you don't have to like everything he commands, but you do have to agree. You ain't gotta like it. But get this, as you grow in God, you'll be all right with it. You'll begin to be all right with it. Why? Because the more you grow, the more you understand. See, I don't like that because I deal with diabetes, I can't have sweets. But I do agree that I can't have sweets because I deal with diabetes. You get my point? I don't like it, but I agree with it. Just so you know, I gave Callie a sweet roll. He threw it away. Didn't get it. Jeff saw it too. Put that out there. These are my confessions. So for those of us who have had bad, okay, so I'm going to take a deep, and I know we got babies in there, so I'm going to keep this as best I can, okay? For those of us that have had bad turnouts with relations before marriage, but you still like relations, you might not like that you aren't supposed to have relations before marriage, but because of your past bad turnouts with relations, you will have to agree that you shouldn't have them before marriage. Oh, Lord. It's getting hot in here. I wrote this one on the highway like this. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. And let me tell you, and when I say a bad turnout, I'm not talking carnally where you're saying I didn't enjoy it. Because you could have enjoyed it and still ended up a single mother struggling to get their dad to take interest in their child or just to take care of that child alone. Don't get caught up with the enjoying part. You could have enjoyed it and still had to take medication for the rest of your life for that thing that enjoyable moment left you with. Mm-hmm. You could have enjoyed it. Lord, have mercy. And I know I'm going to hear somebody make some noise. But you don't enjoy that child support. Woo woo! Lord, have mercy. You ever look at that child? They call it family care. We ain't a family. They live across town. They in another family. And I found out that my contribution contributes to that family. Now, who bought them shoes? Him or me? Let me stop. And I ain't talking about the baby. That's one of them when you look around at people. Who bought the shoes? Him or me? And I ain't talking about the baby. I told Visha, I said, I'm just going to have to take Nas. I'm going to have to take Nas tomorrow. I can't do it. I can't. I'm taking Nas. Every time I see a cat with a new pair of shoes, I'm just wondering. Listen. You could have enjoyed it, but not that child support payment that's ripping you every time you get your paycheck. So come out of the carnal mindset and be able to understand what I mean when I say a bad turnout. And don't let me get started with you could have enjoyed it, but your heart got broke because it was never to them what it was to you. Oh, I'm sure somebody in the house agrees with the fact that you shouldn't have relations before marriage. I found two definitions to share with you. One is about agree. One is to have the same opinion about something. Now, this is critical, and you might want to write this one down. This is critical that you become intentional about having the same opinion as God. It is so important that you have the same opinion as God, or you grow to that point, okay? And you know that you are growing in God when you begin to agree with what you once disagreed with. See, there may be a time when you might have just simply did not agree with God's stance on having relations before marriage. And I know, for a fact that some of you didn't agree with that stance because you used to say it. How you gonna marry somebody that you ain't never had relations with? What if you don't like being with them? Well, the reality is you was never supposed to have others to compare your spouse to. If all I ever had was Awkwafina, now let me go ahead and just be real and kill something while I'm doing it. If all I ever had was Deer Park, then Deer Park would be great. But I got a hold of some Awkwafina. And Awkwafina is so much better. If all I ever had was Awkwafina, y'all wouldn't call me bougie. Because I got my hands on some Fiji. And it got so real that I wouldn't even drink the Fiji out the bottle. I had a glass for it. Y'all remember? Y'all know when I got Fiji because I got the wine glass up there with the Fiji, and I drink it like I let it flow down and do what God meant for it to do. So this talking about, well, what if I don't like it? You'd love it. Had you never had anything else? Grown folk know what I'm talking about. But the problem is, you got one that loved you. Oh, Lord, why am I here? I promise I'm saved. You got one that loved you, but it ain't R. Kelly. Grown folk, work with me. It's more Bushwick Bill. But Bushwick Bill loves you crazy. He loves you so much. But Bushwick don't stand no chance. Because you're illegally R. Kelly. If I'm just making my point, will somebody clap their hands if you... And it's robbing us. It's robbing you out of true happiness. Amen? It's robbing you out of true happiness. We got to learn, why do I love you? It ain't got nothing to do with how much money you make. It ain't got nothing to do with behind closed doors. Why do I love you? Because you love me. You know all of my imperfections, and you love me anyway. And that's why I love you. You got my back. You don't hurt my feelings. You listen to me. You listen to me. You understand what I'm saying to you? And when you hear what I say, you respond in the way of how I've spoken. And I know that you listen because you're doing things differently. I love you because you love me. My wife told me one time, I said, what are you talking about? You just don't act like you love. I said, what are you talking about? Whatever you ask for, I love you. And she said, that don't got nothing to do with it. I know you love me when you begin to operate how I've spoken. When I tell you that this bothers me, stop doing it. I know you love me. When I tell you that I need you to do this because I'm concerned about you and it keeps me up at night, and you begin to take action again. You see, I threw the cinnamon roll to Callie because I love her. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. Let's get through this. I got 20. Okay. All right. I should have took a longer go. But anyway, get this. You wouldn't have nothing to compare if we wouldn't have had all of these illegal relational partners before the marriage. The other definition for agree that I believe that will be important to this teaching says, to consent to do something that has been suggested by another person. It has been suggested, commanded by, not me, but another person who happens to be your heavenly Father. Now, whether you know it or not, you consented to Jesus' lordship when you asked him to come into your life and be the Lord of your life. You consented to that then. You consented to whatever he says you would do. See, there is no way that you can ever start over if your starting over doesn't first start with God. I first want to use this analogy, and many of you have heard me say it to you one-on-one in our counseling and talks. If I go to Jamestown Motors and I buy a Benz 550, and after 2 or 3 years it breaks down on me, I'm not taking it to Ken Cowrie. I am taking it to Jamestown Motors. Why? Because they are connected to the people that made the Benz. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It is just the same with you. When you break down, Lord, have mercy, after the divorce, after being fired, after being let down, after the Zoloft, after, you understand what I'm saying, after the drug addiction, after the alcoholism, after the domestic violence, after all the hell that you've been through, when you break down, you don't need to talk to folk. You need to go back to who made you, who specializes in you. Problem is, we keep taking our broke down selves to people who are broke down themselves, and for that reason alone, we can't get no get right. Lord, have mercy. Starting over has to start. It has to start with God. Don't join no gym. Huh? Don't go back to school. Yeah. All that's good. But you better start with God first. I'm going to make some points here. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And it says this: therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of God, of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, although we may have told you, you know, you need to stop acting like children, you also must accept that growth is a process. Amen? If you have just come to the faith in Christ, don't expect to automatically just be operating like the Apostle Paul and Billy Graham. And likewise, your pursuit of eating healthier, watch this, or training to run a marathon may have to progress in stages. Continual growth in a steady direction is the path to success. Stop thinking that because you saved, you're supposed to be straight automatically. You better bless God that you don't have a God that expects you to just be okay. I'm saved. The new me. I found out the hard way. I got saved. Still like weed. I got saved. Still wanted to get drunk. I got saved. Oh, she's still thick. You stop thinking that as soon as you get saved, ta-da, I'm brand new. It is everything to do with sanctification. It is a continual process that you will be continually doing until he comes for you. Let yourself off the hook just a little bit. Off the hook just a little bit. Now, not to the point to where you're just around here just sinning all willy-nilly and all of that, but you got to come down off this horse. And the church is guilty of making you get on that horse. You saved now. You ain't supposed to act like that. I don't go to places I used to go, and I don't talk the way I used to. Come on, man. You didn't just stop talking like that and stop going to those places just like that. It was a process. And we destroy people. And we snatch their hope away when we say we did it overnight. You lying? Because they're trying to figure out why they can't do it overnight. What about if I was more rotten than you? I remember this dude telling me that. He said, I don't understand why you can't stop doing that, man. I did. I said, I'm worse than you. That's why. Worse than you. Some of you have been judging yourselves against other people's walks, and you're wrong for that. Because the Bible says God is the author and finisher of your faith. In other words, if you're going to compare yourself to Jesus, line yourself up against Jesus. Don't be lining yourself up against, what I look like lining myself up against Kevin, and Kevin ain't, he going to die like me. Listen to this. Here Paul is saying with the scripture that we must hunger for the things of God as babies seek out the milk of their mothers. Shamika, you got that baby? He takes a bottle, right? He takes a bottle, and but when he's hungry, he's hungry. If he's hungry and you put that bottle in front of him, he's going for that bottle. He might not know much at 2 or 3 months old, but he knows that bottle. Amen? And that's how you're supposed to see the Word. Let me tell you something. When I saw stuff in the Bible that said I shouldn't do, that I used to do, that kept me in trouble, I began to long for that Word. Because what I used to do betrayed me. And that Word, to say that you, hey, you guess what? You weren't supposed to be the jacked up. Really? I embraced that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Get this. We're almost done. I promise. And so when you are starting over, you need to realize, watch this. You might want to write this down. This is a duh moment, but duh get a whole lot of people done. Duh get a whole lot of people done. Here's a writing down moment. When starting over, you need to realize which things are beneficial to your growth and which things you need to put aside. Everybody can't stay as you start over. If that was the case, you wouldn't need to start over. One of the most powerful things I learned when in my truest of starting over, I learned that I had to get rid of a whole lot of people. Too many people, too many mentalities, too many, well, the way I feel about it. How you feel about it ain't in the Bible. And I found that out. And you ever had to start over and you find yourself defending your starting over more than you are actually starting over? That is the enemy. You got to watch out for that. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I said if you need to write it down, that when you're starting over, you need to realize what things are beneficial to your growth and which things that you must put aside. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. There are plenty of motivational Bible verses about starting over spiritually, especially in the New Testament. As Paul states here, the biggest changes we should be making involve the ways we live and why we do so. Why do you live the way that you do? Why do you take what you take? If you are in a relationship where you're not being respected, why do you stay in it? If you are in a relationship where you don't feel loved, why do you stay in it? If you're in a relationship where you see that people are just doing you wrong, if you're on a job that has no promise, why are you still there? Huh? If you're in a church and you are applying, notice what I said, and you are applying what you're being taught, but you're not growing, why do you continue to go? See, one thing that I said I asked the Lord to do is, Lord, put me in a position to put whoever hears me preaching in a position to have to say, but he tells the truth. Can't deny it. If I did that, things would be different. But I don't do that. Okay, watch this. Because I have a lack of faith. Watch this. I want things to be different, but I also want to be happy. Now, the problem with happy is what we begin to, how we look at happy. Some people look at happy as, I don't really care if the relationship's not working out as long as I got somebody. Anybody ever been there? Don't act like the city. I wouldn't know if you're like, I ain't never done. Yes, you have. Some of you have stayed in some relationships that you know you shouldn't have stayed in because at least you had somebody. And it wasn't until you found out that you was really lonelier than what you knew that you began to walk away. Amen? So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Lord have mercy. Why do you do what you do? It ain't got nothing to do with them. It's got everything to do with you. With how you see you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of the things that even outside of relationships, some of the things that you do in life that's foul ain't got nothing to do with what you're doing as much as it has to do with you. As I said last week, we are to be constantly examining our actions and motivations all toward the purpose of better knowing the will of God. Why are you doing what you're doing? Where are you at? And what do you need to do better? Luke chapter 14, 28 through 30. This is the Lord, by the way, we're saying this. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Starting over always sounds good, don't it? That's why when we think about it, we put it on Facebook, we tweet it, we everything. I'm starting over. Say all those little fancy things, the slick things. You know you ain't serious about starting over when you being slick about it. You know you ain't serious about starting over when you post stuff about starting over, but you thinking about somebody while you're doing it. You ain't starting over. You ain't gonna start over. You're just trying to catch their attention. Which means you really wanna stay the same. You don't want their attention unless you want to stay the same. Oh, y'all better stop it in here. Oh, Lord. I just get excited thinking about this stuff. Think about that. You know, that's like changing your number because you sick of such and such calling you, but then you put it on Facebook. Stop it. Yeah, girl, they called me and I bet it tripped them out when they realized the number was changed. 2 weeks later. I don't know why they still calling me. I don't know how they calling me because you put it on Facebook. Somebody said, you gave it to people that thought y'all should be cool. And they gave you. Stop it. Stop playing games. You're going to start over. Start over. Starting over always sounds good, but how often do we fail to do so because we have not planned for the change? Listen to me, everybody in here. If you are going to start over, write this down. You have to plan for the change. Cannot start over without planning for the change. I always say what? Change changes things. So if you are going to start over, you have to plan for the change. You starting over means that you are about to begin to operate new, and that is going to bring some change. Folk going to switch up on you because everybody wants you to get better till you get better. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Everybody wants you to get better till you get better. And then they got a problem with you getting better because now that you see, getting better means you begin to see clearly. Then all of a sudden, you ain't who you supposed to be. You've been trying to tell me about how to live my life, but how about the beam that's in your eye before you continue to talk about the speck that's been in mine? You ever got yourself together and realized that all you had was a speck in your eye, but everybody that been judging you had beams in their eye? And you said, man, how did I let you run my life for years? How did I let you mess with my head for years? And you messed up in three of us. Yeah. I can see clearly there. And when the beam and when the speck is gone, you be seeing people like, oh, you got a beam. Yeah, oh, you got a beam. Yeah. Me and my wife, for the last 2 years, we've been speck beaming. We've been spec beaming. Because I began to sit back and hear because she is the most intelligent woman that I know. And so I began to listen to her. And so as I began to listen, my vision cleared up. And so my spec was gone. And so, can I tell the truth? You're smiling now. Can I tell the truth? And so then, when I got rid of my spec, I noticed, as perfect as she is, she had a couple of feelings. It was beans. She got some beans. But then she got, she said, see how real that is? I had some beans. But then she got rid of her beans, and then she said, oh, baby, you got a speck. You got a speck right there. You got a bean. Baby, that's a bean. And then we got, oh, for real? And then we got, and then, baby, hold on, that's a speck. And now, see, that's how you got to love each other. You got to, oh, baby, that's a speck. And watch this. And when you got and when somebody tells you got a speck, you can't get mad. How you going to keep on talking about my speck? Because you ain't got rid of your speck yet. And your speck causes problems for the whole relationship. Your bean is not supposed to be there. As long as it's there, it's going to mess up everything that you are supposed to be doing in life. Whether you got somebody or whether you don't, you've got to get the beans and the specks out of your eye because they will stop you from seeing clearly. And as long as you cannot see clearly, you cannot operate clearly. And as long as you cannot operate clearly, you shall never be everything that he has destined you to be. Lord, have mercy. So starting over sounds good. but you got to plan for the change. Jesus is using worldly examples in Luke 14, 28 through 30 to signify the importance of seeking the kingdom of God first. Get this. We must be resolved. Y'all ready? This is a write down moment. You must be resolved to truly start over before you actually try to start over. In other words, before you start over this next time, be serious about starting over. Because every time that you set out to start over, but for whatever reason you don't, you fail to start over, you fail you. And after a while of failing you, you begin to, what did I say the first week of this series? You begin to dislike you. Anybody ever started over and had to start over again? I probably got more start overs than all y'all. And every time that you, after the third start over, you begin to ask yourself stuff like, what's wrong with me? Why do I keep having to start over? How in the world did I go for what I went for last time? That didn't bust my head enough last time? What is wrong with me that I continue to let people do this too? So before you start over, write this down, be serious about starting over. If you know you lightweight like the abuse of whatever degree, don't start over. If you know that you ain't sick and tired of being sick and tired, don't start over. But if you are at a point in your life, at a place in your life, where you know that you are better than what you are going through, that you are better than what you've been through, that you are better than what you are allowing people to put you through, then it's time for you to start over. But prepare for the change. Prepare for the change. Every time that things get ready to get different in my life, first thing I do, baby, come here, sit down and talk to you. Because see, watch this. Oh, God, I'm helping married people in here, and I'm helping people that even if you're single, you can sit back and tell the people that you connected to so they can be ready for it, okay? Because they'll take it like you're just trying to be brand new and you're being funny style. But the people that matter, the people that are down for you, every time that there's getting ready to be a difference, it's starting over in my life, I sit down with her and say, here's where I'm at. Why? Because I don't want to be operating in this newness of me and she not understand what's going on. Therefore, she is actually opposing, not meaning to, don't know that I done shifted. Now she's opposing, not meaning to, don't know that I've shifted, get it? And all of a sudden now I got a problem with her because it's looking like she's trying to stand in the way of my progress. You gotta sit down, you gotta talk to the people. Not just your wife, just not just your husband, you gotta talk to your kids, you gotta talk to your bae, your boo, you gotta talk to your cousin, you gotta, whoever you kick it with, you gotta, hey, there's a new me. And I want you to know that there's a new me because if after I tell you that there's a new me, you have no right to come to me as the old me. So if I don't drink, if I don't get high, if I don't no more, then after I've told you that, I don't expect you to come to me with that. Now, if I don't tell you that and you come to me with that, that ain't really your fault. That's me. I should have told you. And I can't be funny, Sal. I can't, you know, now I don't do that no more. Now I don't get to do that because I didn't tell you what was going on. But if I tell you that there's been a change, I expect you to respect the change like you expect me to respect yours. So you got to prepare for the change. Nobody decides to build a building that and has not considered the cost. Bree just started a new hair salon. Amen. And yeah, what's it called? Pamper Me Crazy. It's called Pamper Me Crazy. Everybody, Pamper Me Crazy. First of all, don't say it like that. I didn't hear. Y'all don't be hollering at me. Pamper Me Crazy. Everybody fire your hairdresser, go to Breeze. He's the bomb. Amen. That's what you do. See that? And everybody knows, that's what you do for people that you are connected to by God and you trying to make sure that they okay. How in the world can she have a business that the people who's supposed to be trying to get to heaven with her don't support? And everybody in there, the bee's name, what's the dog thing name, what's it called? What's the kennel called? The kennel? They ain't got a name. They sell dogs. They're going to be selling dogs here soon. And so if you're going to get a dog, don't get it yet till they get their dogs together. That's what you do. You support one another because you're together. You love one another. You make sure one another is okay. I feel a whole lot like I got a book coming out, shameless plug. I got a book coming out pretty soon. And I'm going to feel good about all y'all when y'all buy it. But if it don't, y'all don't buy it and it flop, I'm going to preach about you. Here we go. Here's the end. Here's the end. Here's the end. Ezekiel 11. We're done. Ezekiel. And here's the promise. Here's the promise. Okay? Here's the promise. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. Because there's some people in here that think that God won't accept their starting over. You ready? Here's what the Bible says. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out. That was the heart that was rebellious. That was the heart that wouldn't listen. That was the heart that didn't care about what it was that God was saying. He says, I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they will be my people, and I shall be their God. Clap your hands. He promised you. He promised you. Lord, have mercy. He promised you. It don't make no never mind what you've done when you seek me with your whole heart. I'll take that heart of stone. Everything that you've done, I throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. Ain't you glad that you serve a God that don't keep score? Ain't you glad that you serve a God that don't go, yeah, but you remember when? When you get ready to step into your next step, God don't say, well, maybe you don't want to step there because you remember when you used to. That's people. That's not God. He says, I will take that heart of stone out of you and make you a heart of flesh. And you'll be able, watch this, with that heart, oh God, I'm getting happy. With that heart of flesh, you will be able to keep my word. Because truth be told, one of the biggest fears and one of the biggest reasons that we don't really approach God with everything that we got is because we don't really think we can keep his word. Not with as foul as we've been. We can't keep his word. Yes, we can. And he says, why? Why? Because I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. You hear that? I don't care how you looked at it last month. Watch how you look at it next month. I'm going to do something new in you. And as long as you see me working it out on your behalf, all you're supposed to do is continue to follow me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's all he promises. That if you start over, I'll meet you there. You ain't got to turn flips. You ain't got to run no marathon. You ain't got to pay. All you got to say is, I want to start over. I wanna, from the depths of my soul, God, I ain't ever been true about nothing else. I just want to start. It can't stay like this. I can't take another moment. I can't take another day. I can't take another situation like this. I want to start over. And he will meet you where you are. He will meet you. He promised it in his word. He can do all things but fail and lie. He is not a man that he shall lie, he that he shall repent. You understand what I'm saying to you? Go back to that 19. We're done. I just want you to see it again. And I will give them one heart, a new heart. Everything jacked up about you will be gone. A new heart. He says, I'm going to give you, and watch this. He's going to give you a heart. That's what he's going to give you. His heart. Lord, y'all like being stuck. You like being stuck. You should have shouted right there. He says, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take that stony, unnatural. He said that the heart that we've been operating in is not even natural. He said that unnaturally hardened heart. He says, I will take it away. I will take it out of the flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. In other words, he's going to give you a heart that when God begins to get in your midst, you will know it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He's going to give you a heart that when hell breaks loose around you and it looks like it's bigger than you, and he steps up on the scene, your heart's going. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. So I will say, what can man do to me? Give you a new heart. That's what he promised. So don't you let no devil from hell tell you that you can't start over. Don't you let no devil from hell tell you that your marriage is a wrap. That it can't be worked out. The devil is a lie. You can start over again. And never have to start over again. have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap.